Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand. We've got an action-packed episode. We got Megan Patrick stopped by today, and she is fierce. I love Megan Patrick, everything she stands for, and it's a pretty in-depth interview where she gets pretty real and pretty honest. Also, we've got Priscilla Block stopping by on this episode as well. She just did her Ryman Auditorium debut and brought out Sarah Evans, Tracy Lawrence, and more. And we recorded this interview 2 days before that. So it's interesting to hear how excited she was going into it. As always, give us a like, a subscribe, and everything. Thank you so much for checking out Taste of Country Nights on Demand. Here we go. We got Megan Patrick in the house.
Hi.
What's happening?
Man, I'm just, I feel like I'm just kind of coming back to life. It's been a crazy couple weeks. Obviously, the storm was crazy. Mitchell and I didn't have power for like 10 days.
Okay, and we were talking about you don't have a generator, but
no.
Granted, in Nashville, you don't necessarily always need one, but what happened with your snow prep?
Yeah, we tried for like a week to find a generator. Everywhere was sold out. The best we could do was stock up on firewood, and we got like 3 bags of salt at Tractor Supply. And we're like, well, just 3 bags of salt and a prayer. And we lost our power. We like heard it explode, like the trees and like the transformer, the power line, everything came down. It was like 5 in the morning on Saturday. And we were just like, and I, you know, being from Canada, I was like, it's fine.
Right.
You know, we can just ride it out. Like, we could be like pioneers for a few days.
Right.
And like, we made it to Sunday night, and it was like, it was very apocalyptic feeling because we live in the woods. So we are surrounded by trees, and we could literally hear them exploding out in the woods.
Wow.
And there was just trees going down left, right, and center. It started to feel kind of unsafe. We were, you know, had a fire going in our house, and we just could not keep it warm enough. And so we had like this crazy escape that we had to make with our 2 dogs on our side by side, because we live at the top of like this really steep hill. So thankfully I had left my truck down by like the main road. And our whole road was like covered in trees and down power lines and stuff. So Mitchell's like maneuvering us through the woods, through the snow and the ice with our 2 dogs on the side by side. Like, what the heck are we doing? Like, why are we out here?
Icons.
Yeah. And we finally made it down to my truck just to find there was more trees down on the main road. And then these 2 guys, like God sends, just show up out of nowhere with a chainsaw.
What?
And like Mitchell is, you know, they're out there trying to like cut and like move these trees, and I'm driving the side by side, dragging these trees with chains. And like, finally these guys are like, we know a way out. And we finally made it out to Highway 100 and found a hotel that would take us and our dogs.
Is this a true story or an episode of 911 Nashville?
It should be. Like,
okay.
Seriously, give us a call, 911 Nashville.
Right?
We've got a storyline that might actually be believable. But yeah, it was crazy. And, you know, we kind of moved around from spot to spot over the last like week and a half. Thankfully, we have some incredible friends who put us up and gave us a place to stay.
Who?
And
anybody we know? Anybody famous?
Just some family friends.
Okay.
I don't know if there's anybody you know, but really good people. So, you know, I think that was the silver lining, was like, and I think it was Mitchell and I, We are both kind of not the best at like receiving help. We love to give it. We are not the best at like letting people help us. And I was like, babe, we just got to let these people help us. Okay. We would do the same for them. Like,
yeah,
it's okay to just let people help you. Sometimes these are extenuating circumstances. So yeah, we finally just got our power back. But a few days before that, I got the flu, and I've never been so sick in my life. Like 3 days, just could not get out of bed. And I was like, man. And you know, I was like, I moved like 800 miles south to get away from this. And here we are. I'm like, this is BS, you know?
Well, God, you were here like a year ago.
Yeah.
We did a deep dive on Golden Child, the album, which was new back then.
Yeah.
What songs resonated more with fans than you thought would?
Oh, man. You know, it's interesting. There's always a few kind of like deep cuts, B-sides, or at least like that's how I see them. And it's interesting because they're always ones that are deeply personal to me, but I'm like, is it so personal that like generally other people aren't going to like connect as much? But I think one of the ones, which honestly is one of my favorite songs on the record, is Letting Go of You. And I think, you know, it's such a specific personal song about Mitchell and I's relationship, which is not like a, you know, there's not that many people out there doing what we do,
right?
Both artists being on the road. So, you know, we have our own like very specific, you know, difficulties and roadblocks we have to work past, and, you know, the highs and the lows of all of it, and like finding a way to, you know, prioritize our marriage through all of it while chasing the dream. And, it was really cool to see how many people related to it. And I think part of it is just that, you know, a lot of the fans have been following both Mitchell and I's careers, and, you know, some of his fans have become a fan of me and vice versa. And so there's a lot of love for us as a couple. So that was really cool. I'm trying to think what other ones. Every Dog was another one. Like, I always love that song, 'cause to me it was just a cool song. And
yeah,
even just the way it was written, you know, it wasn't some super obvious like hook, I guess. Like, it was a little bit more nuanced, but people really loved that one too. So it just was, it was cool, because the ones that people really seemed to love that weren't obvious singles were ones that I really loved, which I think is such a cool testament to the kind of fans that I have, and made me feel so seen and like loved and understood, you know?
What about Safe Place to Break? Was that written with Mitchell in mind?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's 100% about him. And, you know, as one of the newer tracks, you know, from the deluxe, it's, that song has already had an incredible life, you know, just since it came out, which hasn't even been that long.
Yeah.
But it's I want to say to any like songwriters and artists out there, that song to me is such a testament to timing being important when it comes to songs, and to not lose hope in a song just because it doesn't get cut right after you write it. 'Cause I wrote that song 7 years ago.
Wow.
And I always loved it, but I just, my gut never said it was the right time until now. And it was somebody at my label, actually Brandon, I think, had kind of resurfaced it. And he's like, "Hey, what about this song?" And I think part of it was that the demo was very pop, and I didn't really know what to do with that and how to make it fit with like what I was doing musically. And so, but I loved the message. I loved the story and the melodies and all that. And so I took it to my producer, Karen, and I was like, "What can we do with this to make this, to bring this into what we're doing sonically right now?" And I'm like, I feel like it needs to be like, what would Chris Stapleton do with this song? It needs some more soul and just like heart in it, you know, not just here's a big hooky chorus. And so we messed around with it, and the players in the studio, you know, we cut the vocals and everything. They were all live off the floor, like in the moment with the studio. And so I think that really translated in just how the song was performed and delivered, because I was so, so happy in that moment that this song, I knew that the timing was right. I had the right people, the right players, the right producer. Everything was coming together in a way where I'm like, this is what the song was always meant to be.
Wow.
And even from a lyrical perspective, you know, I wrote that when Mitchell and I first started dating, and now we're 3 years married, almost 8 years together. It's like, it has so much more depth and nuance to it. And the feeling of everything that we've been through and who he's become to me as a husband and as a friend and as a partner. So yeah, the fans are loving that one for sure.
What about, has the guy from Blood from a Stone reached out?
The guy?
Yeah. That it's about?
You mean my mom?
Oh, a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
Sorry about
no,
that.
No, that's okay.
What does your mom think about it? Is that a whole deal?
It's a whole deal. Yeah. I mean, you know,
do we not talk about
it? No. Oh, okay. It's okay. We can talk about it. I mean, I put the song out because I wanted to open up that conversation, the purpose of it was not out of spite. It was not to like air out dirty laundry. It was partially because one, you know, my relationship with her, was extremely formative to who I am as a person. And Golden Child is a very autobiographical, very honest, raw description of my life and who I am and how I've become the person
that
I am.
Love that song, by the way.
Thank you. And, you know, to put it simply, I think there's lots of songs about toxic relationships, but people shy away from talking about toxic relationships with parents and with mothers specifically. And I think especially in country music, you know, mothers are always revered in songs, and it's like, I would listen to those songs and be like, that's, I just don't relate to that. That was not my experience. And I think there's a lot of shame and guilt that comes around women who have really difficult relationships with their mothers. And I wanted to take that stigma away. And I wanted to put the message out there that for anybody who has struggled with a relationship with their mother or someone in their family, that you are not a bad person for setting the boundaries that you have to set to become a better version of yourself and to heal. Because it's really hard to heal when the person who's hurt you the most is still there in your life, ripping out the stitches and pouring salt in the wound every time you try and get better. And that's what it felt like for me. And so, you know, I love her from afar. I forgive her for what she's done. I have sympathy for what she's been through that led her to the behavior that she had. But it was also extremely damaging and painful for me. And it just was too big of a part of my story to leave it out. And I also, like I said, I wanted it to be out in the world for anybody else that has felt like they couldn't say those things out loud because they would be judged for it, and for them to know that they're not alone.
Did you hear anything about it, like from your family?
Yeah, my family all knew about the song, you know, as soon as I wrote it. You know, I held on to that song for a couple of years before I made the decision to release it, because I also wanted to make sure that I wanted to be sure of my motives behind releasing it. I wanted to be sure of my own like emotional stability before I released it. I wanted to feel that I was ready to talk about it openly and honestly. And, you know, my dad, my sister, everyone around me were very supportive because they know it's the truth. You know, it's not, like I said, it's not me trying to get clicks or, you know, create drama. It's just the truth. It's really not even about her. It's about me and my experience and how it affected me emotionally and my development as like a woman and as a person. And, you know, my mother's, she's a really troubled person who just has been unable to take accountability or kind of, accept the reality of what she's done. And, so that's why, you know, I keep her at a distance.
Fair. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about like Cheetos or something.
Listen, I'm not a small talk kind of girl, you know, we'll get into the real stuff.
I love it. Where have you heard Golden Child in the Wild that you were like, oh, this is cool?
I mean, you know, this might be like a hot take or whatever, but obviously like hearing it on the radio is the ultimate. It's incredible. And like, especially like the first time I got to hear it, like in Nashville on a local station, and the first time ever hearing it on radio. But one of my favorite ways to hear it is like walking through Tractor Supply,
yeah.
Or like at the gas station, or, you know, I'm sitting at like, you know, Chick-fil-A or something, right, and it just like comes on. I'm like, hey, that's me. And I love getting, you know, videos from people like friends and stuff, hearing it just like out in the wild in random places. So anytime I hear it just without expecting it, it's always the best feeling.
How do you deal with it as a songwriter to be like, hey, I know you love this one, but I also have 23 other ones that you should check out? Like, how do you compartmentalize that?
Yeah, you know, it's tough because a lot of times I think, especially when you're still like a new artist, you know, there's a lot of songs that kind of go under the radar. But I also, like I said, you know, I'm a believer in like in timing and everything. And I think, you know, I know the way that I operate when I find a new artist, or like, say I hear a song, I'm like, oh man, this is really good. And if I go back and find out like, oh wow, they've got like multiple records, like I'm going to listen to all of them. I'm going to go through all of it. And so my hope is that like, if they hear Golden Child and they love it enough, they love my voice, they love the lyrics, whatever, my hope is that they're going to go back and they're going to dig into the whole, you know, the whole discography and find their own like favorites and stuff. And I always think that's cool because it's such a like organic way to create a fan, because they're going back. They might not even know what songs were like former singles, especially for me, you know, having built a career in Canada before I came here. You know, I have songs that were like hits in Canada and then, you know, B-sides. So Canadian fans might see them that way. But like new fans are like, they don't know what was a single in Canada or whatever. So they're finding their own favorites and kind of learning about who I was before Golden Child. And I mean, that's how I look at music anyway. So I always hope that that's what the fans are doing when they hear it.
Who has reached out and said they were a fan of Golden Child that kind of was unexpected to you, or that you were like, whoa.
You know, I've had the really cool thing. Like I've had a lot of artists, like other artists, and that's always when like other artists or songwriters, you know, come up to you and say that, it's always like such a little, you know, like, my friend Madeline Merlot, she's another Canadian artist. Like she sent me this really sweet text. It was like at the airport at 5 a.m. and I'm reading it and she's saying it's like one of the best written songs I've ever heard. It's so good. And just made me like cry. And, Ryan Hurd came up to me at a bar not too long ago. He's like, dude, you got a hit on your hands. That song is so great. And that made me feel really cool, you know, cause I love Ryan's such an incredible songwriter and an artist as well. So like that kind of respect from someone like him and someone from Matt, like Madeline, you know, it always feels good.
What about Anne Murray? She's my favorite.
I don't have that kind of relationship. Well, I know who she is, of course, but like we're not like texting or whatever.
What about Nickelback?
That would be cool. Fun fact, Chad actually co-wrote my first ever single and produced like half of my first record. So.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Chad's the man. Never got to meet Avril.
All right. Those are my only three.
Yeah.
All right. Real quick. We want to play Megan or Mitchell.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Who's messier, you or Mitchell?
Probably me.
Who has more shoes, you or Mitchell? Okay. Whose DMs are more questionable, incoming, not outgoing, you or Mitchell?
Oh, I've definitely received more inappropriate ones, I'm pretty sure. A lot of dick pics.
What about Mitchell? Does he get the other one?
He might have.
Did he share that with you?
We don't, you know.
You don't talk about it?
Not really.
I got 2 dick pics today.
I mean, every once in a while, but it's like, I don't know. We just don't really care because like we trust each other so much that it just like doesn't matter, you know?
Okay. Who's more dramatic on the road, you or Mitchell?
Mitchell, 100%.
Whose health insurance plan are you on, yours or Mitchell?
Mitchell's.
Really?
He got that good, yep.
Okay, so is this better? Okay.
This is better, yep. He's got that major label insurance, you know? I'm a little indie girl over here, like, please, sir, can I have some insurance?
What's y'all's deductible? What is it, your copay?
I don't know, he handles that.
All right, who cries during sad country songs, you or Mitchell?
We're both pretty emotional people, especially when it comes to music. Yeah.
Who's more likely to write a breakup song just in case?
Mitchell, always. I said to him the other day, I'm like, babe, you are so good at writing breakup songs. And he has all of his hits are breakup songs. I'm like, not to be the girl to be like, write a song about me. But I'm like, people are starting to wonder, like, are you okay? We've been married for 3 years, happily together for 8. And all of your singles are breakup songs.
Formal event. Who takes longer to get ready, you or Mitchell?
Well, easily me. Uh-huh. I mean, it's just, I'm a woman.
Okay.
Mitchell showers and, you know, gets dressed.
Who checks comments the most, you or Mitchell?
That's kind of a toss up. I think maybe Mitchell, I think I've been a lot more like careful about not reading them as much. I think he might maybe pay more attention, but I think, I don't know, it's a little different for women. There's generally more comments about, you know, your body and things like that. And those some days I'm like, I don't need to put that in my head, you know?
That's fair. All right. The deluxe is out. You're doing tours and all that. What's the end of 2026 looking like?
The end of 2026, I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to get through the first half right now. Right now, I'm just trying to get through this endless winter. But I'm excited. I've got my first headlining tour in the U.S. I'm headlining again back home in Canada. And like just lots of really exciting shows and stuff coming up, new music. It's going to be a good year.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming by.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah. We got Priscilla Block in the house. Always, it's always fun when you come by. I'm like, this makes my day. It's like the end of my day. It makes my day because you're always so fun.
I like that. Hopefully, like, we can pick the vibes up, you know. No, I'm so happy that we're here today.
Let's talk about your first show at the Ryman coming up. Why is that so special?
I mean, because I'm playing the Ryman. Like, what? It's kind of self-explanatory. I cannot believe this day has come. Like, Wednesday night, I'm headlining the Ryman for the first time, and it's just crazy because I used to play at all the bars nearby. And this night, like, it's so special for many reasons, but I feel like the most special part of it is, like, it's not just, like, huge for me. It's huge for my entire team and my entire band. And my band has been with me since day one. And we have, you know, so many memories of just playing the bars nearby and, like, dreaming of being in the Ryman. And, like, we get to all do that together. So, like, that's just amazing.
Nerd question. Have you sound checked? Do you get to sound check in the Ryman? Because it's so different.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to sound check. And the sound is amazing in there. So, yeah, I mean, I think the night's going to be really epic. I'm so excited for Nashville to see my show. And I feel like our show is, I mean, I may be biased, but I think our show is awesome. And so, like, being able to, like, go to the mother church, put the lights up, have the full production, like, and for everyone, you know, in town to kind of see what we do on the road, I think is really exciting.
Are there any guests that you can...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I think Nashville might freak out when these guests come out. I mean, I know they are. Because okay. I'm freaking out. Because I saved the really big asks for this show, and yeah.
Okay, so how many really big asks?
A couple.
Okay.
A couple. There's some legends.
Did everybody you ask say yes, or did you have a couple that couldn't do it for whatever reason?
There were a couple that couldn't do it, that were out of town.
Okay.
But it's okay. I think, like, the guests have really made up for it. I was really, really hoping that mine and Justin's schedule would line up for Yumi and Whiskey, but it didn't, unfortunately. So that's a little bit of a bummer, but I'm telling you right now, like...
Well, here's what we're going to... We have a crack bunch of people behind the scenes, and we're going to go and find out who's not on tour.
Okay.
On Wednesday or heading out on the road. We're going to try to put this together. I'm glad we have a couple days.
I wanted this night to, like, really kind of, like, pay ode to, like, people that have inspired me, and, like, I think back to my Broadway playing days, you know, and I think about the songs that I used to sing all the time, and so those are, like, some of the people that I asked, and
dude
it's gonna be crazy. Like, I'm telling
I'm so
you
pumped.
I'm freaking out. Like, I don't even know how I'm gonna act, so I already know that I don't even know how everybody else is gonna act.
How do you act around people like that on big statuses like that? Do you freak out or do you play it cool?
No, I don't play it cool. Like, I think I'm a fangirl, and I, like, want people to know that. You know what I mean? Like, I remember the first time I met Justin Moore, I walked up to him and I was like, oh my God, I'm Priscilla. I'm, like, literally the biggest fan. And he's like, who's this crazy girl and who let her backstage? Like, he had no clue who I was. And we played the show that night together. And, like, he came back and he was like, Priscilla, I had no clue who you were. And I'm, like, the biggest fan of you now.
Wait, you were on the bill?
Yeah, we were doing, like, a radio show.
Okay.
It was like a guitar pull. And
wow.
I, like, full on fangirled right at the beginning. We go out and play this guitar show together. And he was hearing me sing. And, like, after the show, he came up and he was like, I am, like, the biggest fan of you after tonight. Like, if I can ever do anything to help your career, here's my number. And that's how Yumi and Whiskey happened.
Wow.
He called me a couple months later and was like, hey, girl, I got this song. And, you know, so it's wild. So, no, I don't really try and play it cool. Like, if I'm a fan of somebody, I'm like, I'm going to tell them right away. Like, you've inspired me. This is the coolest freaking moment. Because I feel so flattered when somebody, when there's an up and coming artist that's coming up and that's like, you've inspired me so much. I'm like, really? Like, heck yeah. That's awesome.
Well, okay.
Good to hear that.
Tell me about, on the flip side, what's your most memorable fan meet and greet that comes to mind?
Well, y'all, I mean, there's so many, but just like 2 days ago, a girl in my meet and greet line bought me a pair of Gucci earrings. And she came through and I'm like, I see the Gucci box and I'm like, no way this is real. Like, I don't own anything Gucci. I own one thing Gucci and it's secondhand. It's like from a, yeah, never bought anything from, right. You know. But anyway, she came through the line. She was like, she wrote me a note and she was like, you've inspired me so much to love my body. And the only reason why I've like stepped outside of my comfort zone with wearing fun clothes is because of you. And she was like, I wanted to buy you your first pair of Gucci earrings. Cause I got a song called Goodwill to Gucci. And I'm like, dang, I really did go from Goodwill to Gucci and wow. I didn't even have to pay for the Gucci. Like, this is crazy. And I was like, I literally looked at her. I was like, are you psychotic? I mean, this is amazing. She goes, yes, I am. But no, I want to give this to you. And I was like, what?
Wow.
So like that just happened. There's been so many like fan moments and unbelievable stories that people share. But that was like so crazy. Cause I'm like, how much did you spend on these?
Yeah.
Like you spent money for the VIP meet and greet. Like you don't need to get me anything, you know, but it was just so cool that she was just like, no, like I am so inspired by you and I wanted to do this. So I'm going to wear the Gucci earrings to the Ryman.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
They'll have a secret meaning that most people won't know.
Because I really went from Goodwill to Gucci.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Like, good truly. For you. Good for you. You recently started talking about your mans.
Yes.
How important do you think it is to be with someone that knew you before you were famous?
You know, I don't necessarily like think about that in a way like, you know, I think it's important. I just like, since I've known him, like it's been right, you know? And I think like looking back, I've never thought about it in a way of just because we've been together for so long of being like, it's really important too. But I think he has seen me grind so hard for this. And he like, he used to be the only guy in the bar watching me sing and he'd tip me $20 to play Here's a Quarter or like whatever. Like, and so he saw the hustle in Nashville. And so I think like now me being gone all the time and me like chasing this thing full on of being like, yo, like I'm working really hard on this and I might not have a lot of time to like be home with you and maybe like do the traditional thing that, you know, a lot of girls are able to do, like cook you dinner every night and like all the things, like I can't do that. And he was like, he's like, you know what? You go do your thing and I'll be here waiting on you. And I think it just makes it makes it awesome because there's never any like weird, like push or pull, or he just gets what I do and he knows how hard I've worked for it. So like, he's just like big, you know, it's awesome that that is that. I think if I were to start dating right now, we actually talked about this. I was like, man, if I was dating right now, it is kind of a little sketchy because you don't know if you meet somebody, you don't know if they have like ulterior motives,
yeah.
You know? So like, I think that that's important, you know? But it's cool that he's just been on this ride with me.
Yeah. That's cool. He has seen it all, huh? Who talks about marriage more, you or him?
That's a good question. Well, I'm like such, you know, I'm like so hyper, like fixed on like my career and what I'm doing right now. I've told him from the beginning, I'm like, I want to wait until I get through my second album before I think of getting married. And I did just put out my second album. So I'm like, oh crap, like it's here. And he's like, and it's so funny because I'm like, literally the other night we were talking about it and I was like, somebody said, man, when are y'all going to get married? And I look at him, I'm like, I don't know, you tell me. And he goes, hold on. He's like, you just put out your album and you said, we're not having marriage talks until after the album. He goes, and as soon as the album was done, you're like, well, when are we getting married?
What?
We both talk about it a lot. I know we'll get married.
What if?
Yeah.
What if he does it at the Ryman?
Oh, I would die. I'm already feeling like I'm going to die, but
okay.
Like, it would be awesome. I don't know when it's going to happen. Whatever and wherever, it's going to be perfect, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Tell me, what's a song of yours that you wish got a little more attention, because you love it or you've heard from your fans that it really affected them?
That's a good question. Couldn't Care Less has been the song that just like, I feel like a lot of people have raised their hand for.
Okay.
And I think it's just like, I'm the girl with the big personality and I'm very like, you know, life of the party type girl. But like that song is super vulnerable about being like, hey, like I struggle too. Like I'm insecure sometimes, or like if I see negative stuff, like I don't just brush it off. Like it means nothing. Like I care a lot. So I think that song, you know, I think Good On You Still is like such a smash.
Yes,
and like I see it every single night at our shows where everyone's just like, I wore that shirt. And I'm just like, it's so crazy. And that to me just like feels like such a bigger song. But yeah.
That's cool. Who's the coolest celebrity you've ever met?
The coolest celebrity? I mean, gosh, that's a good one. Like, does it get cooler than Dolly Parton?
You got to meet Dolly?
Yeah.
Okay,
like,
walk me through. Like, what'd you say? Miss Dolly or Dolly?
Oh, yeah. I was so nervous. Like, I feel like I don't get nervous a lot.
Yeah.
But, like, that to me was, like, this is, like, my hero, she's just an angel. It's, like, almost she doesn't even seem real,
Did
you know?
Did you black out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I met her, it was right after I got signed. I got to host the red carpet at ACM's. And I met her. She was coming through and they're like, do you want to interview Dolly? And I was like,
do you want to interview?
Yes, yes, yes. And so that's awesome. I like walked up to her and she's so short and I'm so short, but I had really high heels on that night. And I was like, never in my life have I felt tall. Until right now.
Oh, I didn't know she was that short. I've never seen her in person.
She's just, she's so little and precious. But I mean, yeah, meeting Dolly was.
Wow.
I feel like the peak of my life.
That, yeah. I mean, yeah. I didn't want to say it. But,
yeah, like,
man,
does it get cooler than Dolly?
do you ever think about what you'd be doing if this dream hadn't worked out?
I would still be playing the bars and grinding in this town.
What about no music?
No music. Okay. Okay. If I couldn't do music, I would do for sure like interior design. I love design. I love fashion. I could see myself in the fashion space, but I don't really want to be a stylist. I also think I could really crush. I feel like if I wasn't an artist, I don't necessarily know if I would fully go like in the industry, like as a career. But I feel like I could really crush like branding. Like if there was an artist that came in that was trying to figure out their thing, like, cause I feel like I kind of did that with myself.
You did that with yourself.
Like me and my band would sit down, we'd pull up Pinterest, we'd make boards of being like, okay, this is the vibe. This is the vibe. Nope, that looks too much like this person or whatever. And like really honing in a brand. Cause I think it's really important.
Are you still doing that though, on finding people on TikTok that you got doing that, but looking for other people?
I mean, are you saying
what y'all did and how you and your band got it through on TikTok? Are y'all now looking for people that are doing the same thing to help them? Is it?
Yeah. I mean, anytime I come across an artist that's got, and you know, that thing, like people always say, like, they either got that thing or they don't.
Uh-huh.
And like, you see certain people that just have that thing, like whether it's the personality, just their look, that the voices, you know, it's just, I don't know. You can't exactly put an eye on like what the thing is, but yeah, I feel like I always try and like encourage other artists. Like, dude, like Mae Estes was out on the road with us this past weekend and we sat down on my bus and like, we were just talking for like an hour, just like spewing like a bunch of stuff. And I told her, I was like, dude, you are different and like in the best way. And her voice is amazing. Her songs are amazing. Like, and I'm like, country music needs you.
Yeah.
You know? And I love that. So anytime like we're out with somebody that, you know, that I really like see that branding thing that's so strong, I always like want to bring it up because it's good to hear, you know?
Hell yeah. What's coming up next for you after the Ryman? What's on the horizon? Or is that what it is? Yeah.
What's on the horizon? What is on the, I almost said, what's on the Verizon? Guys, I've had like 3 cups of coffee this morning. I was about to be like, what is on the Verizon?
What's on the Verizon?
What's on the horizon?
I think you almost said it again.
I know. Listen, we've been touring since October. We're about to end the tour at the Ryman. And I'm like, y'all, I need 3 days of rest.
Just give it to me.
Okay, give me 3 days of rest and then I'll be back. I'm going to start writing again. Oh, I'm in a very like happy time in my life. And I'm like, I need to like lean into this and write some songs about where I'm at and get in the creative space for a little bit. It's kind of crazy because a lot of people are about to start their tours and we're about to end our tour.
God.
Which we kind of like skipped out on the winter in Nashville, which was great.
You did. Yeah.
We skipped out on the snowstorm. We were out in California. Like,
wow.
So I'm kind of like vibing with this like winter touring thing because it just gets us out of the cold.
Interesting.
Yeah. We were out in Mexico with Luke Bryan in January. Yeah. I'm like, I think I can do this for sure.
You're going to be starting on New Year's Day.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, do you need like a co-host on this show?
Oh, you would be great. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just call me.
Yeah, that would be so fun. Well, thank you for coming by. We appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
I'm not even going to wish you good luck because you don't need it for Wednesday.
I hope y'all enjoy the show on Wednesday. Come out. It's going to be crazy. Like, I'm so at this point in my life where I'm trying to level up in every area of my life, and the tour is one of them. And like, if you can come out and see the show, come see the show.
All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes to talk about these interviews with these lovely ladies. What do you got, man?
Priscilla's Ryman show was Wednesday night, and we did some research and zoomed in. I don't know if she wore the Gucci earrings or not.
Oh, no.
Now, in fairness, I wouldn't know a Gucci earring from a Walmart earring.
Or a walnut.
Or a walnut. So she had earrings on for part of the show, not for other parts of the show. Sarah Evans, by the way, was one of her special guests.
Dude, I saw that she also brought out Tracy Lawrence and Dasha and a bunch of other people came out. Like, she wasn't lying when she said she was pulling out all the stops.
That's a good list.
Yeah.
That's a good list. Don't you kind of feel bad? Like, if you have the Ryman show now, the expectation is so high to just have, like, this revolving door of country stars. Like, if you just want to go out there and deliver your show because, you know what, it's Nashville and that's, you know, they should see, like, what you've done, like, that's going to disappoint the audience.
I disagree, though. I think that this is Nashville, baby, and this is where they all the country artists live. And if I think it's a flex. Like, if you're playing at the Ryman, you got to come out with, I mean, it's Nashville. If you don't bring anybody out that as Jay DeMarcus told us from Rascal Flatts, if you don't have any friends that live down the street that want to just come hang out, I don't know.
Trying to think of who some of the wildest special guests. I mean, the one that comes to mind is when Jelly Roll brought Snoop Dogg out with him.
Oh, that's huge. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a big one. I remember Maren Morris brought CeeLo Green out. That was kind of neat.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And it's also a good opportunity because there's a lot of out of genre artists in music that live in Nashville as well. So there's an opportunity to do the ultimate flex and just start plucking people.
Yeah, like a Jack White or something.
Yeah. Kind of cool.
I've never seen that before, but that'd be neat.
Yeah, or that the girl from Paramore, Haley.
Oh, is she in Nashville?
Yeah. Or okay. Reese Witherspoon. She can't sing anything, but, you know.
I remember Garth Brooks brought out Mike Fisher, Carrie Underwood's boyfriend.
There you
Carrie
go.
Underwood's husband.
you got to bring somebody out. Like, anybody. Find a Nashville predator that's famous or something. You know, I'm just glad that Priscilla did that. I'm sorry to hear about the earrings. Maybe she wore them backstage or something. We don't know.
Yeah, I'm not saying that she was lying to the girl. She probably did. I just, you know, we need someone who's a little bit more knowledgeable in earrings to kind of figure these things out, I guess.
Yeah, probably not the space for us too.
So did Meg Patrick, did she ever call you to come stay with her during that storm? Or was that, no. She didn't get that far down the Rolodex?
I guess she didn't get that far down the Rolodex. Thanks. But that was a great story that she told about with Mitchell Tenpenny and how they were like, we just need to accept help. And it's crazy for people outside of Nashville just to, if you're a mega country music fan, you know, seeing what all the artists went through during the snowstorm was just insane to watch.
I want to know what it is, because like you and I, we both live about 30 miles outside of Nashville.
Yeah.
And we, as a result, we end up missing, it seems like, a lot of the big storm activity. I remember the big storm tornadoes that came through right before COVID kind of wrecked downtown.
Yeah.
Didn't touch me. The snowstorm, we got some snow, sure, but wasn't nearly as bad. There wasn't like widespread power outages like there were in Nashville. It seems like maybe we're in like a little valley or something and miss some of this activity. Or maybe it's the opposite, like Nashville just gets struck down by some of these hard-hitting storms.
Yeah, I hate to minimize the storms or anything, but maybe it's like something going on with, you know, the musical gods. If a song just got released that's awful, you know, maybe they feel like they need to reset Nashville, you know?
You think Mother Nature is a very, very bougie country music fan?
Yes.
She just punishes bad music?
That's right. If she hears any bad music, she's lighting you up in Nashville.
It's an interesting take. By that, I mean, I would have thought that, like, well, now here, come to think of it, the worst flood we ever had
at the Rhine
was kind of right at the start of bro country.
Yeah.
So.
Where was that at? Was that wasn't at the Ryman, right? That was at the other one?
Those are the Grand Old Opry.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I mean, it was all across Nashville. It affected the Ryman as well. It, flooding came all the way to Bridgestone Arena. But, yeah, that was 2010. So that was actually a little bit before Brew Country.
So, and the other thing that I wonder is this mega snowstorm that happened in Nashville going to get mentioned in any country music songs that we hear like an hour, or not an hour, a year down the road once it gets written, cut, produced? You know, like, spend a whole day in the house together, no power, you know, something like that.
No. I don't think so, but I will bet. I bet you we have a baby coming about 8 or 9 months. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, everybody's stuck home alone.
Yeah.
You get bored.
Yeah.
Things happen. You're shuttered in.
Yeah. I mean,
that's just how it works.
Got to keep it real.
All right. Who we got coming up? So we've had some great interviews. I'm not going to do your job for you here, but I know we just had a great Aaron Watson interview that I'm excited to share with
people.
We got some other ones.
Yes.
On the back of that.
Aaron Watson stopped by, and it was awesome. He was just so amped up, and it's such a great interview. Dasha was so much fun when she came by. We've just got a stacked list that we're going to be coming week after week with every Friday. So make sure you check us out here on Taste of Country Nights on Demand.